And turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to go there in just a moment. As you're turning to Mark, chapter 4, I want to ask you, have you heard the one about the little boy who went to his first funeral? Things were going great. He shows up, he's in his best clothes, he's got his tie, he's got his shine shoes, his mom is there, his daddy's there, everyone's there, they've paid their respects, he did not make too many jokes about the stiff in the casket, things are going well. He finally gets to the burial side, and the minister says the famous words, "Dust to dust." And the little boy just goes, "I don't get it, mama." He leans over, he taps his mom, and he says, "What does that mean?" And she explains in a very hushed voice, "Well, you see, sweetheart, in the beginning when God made man, he took dirt, he took dust, and he breathed in it, and he made man. So from dust man came, and then when you die, you return back to the dirt, to the dust." And so the little boy goes, "Okay." They go home. He gets undressed. He's upstairs in his room. Mama thinks everything's great until she hears her son yell. Turns out little boy looked under his bed. And like most little boys who have a bed like mine and yours probably growing up, there was this accumulation of dust and dirt under his bed. And he says, "Mama, there's someone under my bed, but I can't tell if they're coming or going." And I was just thinking about it. We got a lot of dirt in this world, don't we? We heard about a lot of dirt this week. In Minnesota, in Louisiana, and then in Dallas. And now there's all sorts of other dirt that we hear about on a fairly regular basis, especially in an election year. There's all sorts of dirt. We call it mud flinging. It's where you take dirt, spit, and then you throw it. But this week we had 2 different police-related shootings and then 5 additional people killed, 5 police officers in Dallas as a result of all this. There's been a lot of dirt this week. And the dirt has continued to pile up, both in the rhetoric of the politicians as well as various agencies and individuals. And not only is there dirt happening in other states, folks, dirt is happening in our own city here in Nashville as a result of it. In fact, I've seen some of that dirt from very people who are Christ followers, thanks to our 24-hour media cycle. And this wonderful miracle called social media, where anyone with a computer thinks they have a PhD in opinion giving. There's been a lot of dirt this week. Have you heard any of it? And here's the problem with dirt. Seems like the more you talk about it, the more you get your hands in it, the dirtier you get as well. Have you noticed this? Now, I'd planned to talk on something completely different today, but last night, in light of what has been going on, about 8:30, I said, "I'll come back to that. We'll do this lesson another time." Because today we just kind of need to talk about the dirt. Because here's the reality, and if you're like me, you've felt this. There's something that happens when you see what's going on, when the words you hear coming from both outside the church and inside the church is the very same. It's blaming this or blaming that or hand-wringing or fear or frustration. There's something that happens. We begin to wonder if this promise of heaven on earth that we've spent so much time talking about is a true possible reality. And I think for many of us, we just begin to assume that it's a great fairy tale we tell our children at night so they sleep well, but we know in our heart that it's nothing more than a fairy tale because of all the dirt. But I got good news for you today. If you leaf through the pages of the Bible, you'll notice something. That our God does some of His best work in the dirt. And I want to take you to one final picture of the kingdom of heaven, heaven on earth. And it turns out it's a story about some dirt and a farmer. From Mark chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 26. as my good friend Randy Patterson often will do, and I'm going to invite you to do this morning. Once you get to Mark chapter 4, will you just let me know with a really loud, really hearty, I'm wide awake, amen, okay? Once you get to Mark 4, just let me know by saying amen. All right, here we go, church. By the way, real quick, are you glad that you have a Bible this morning? Well, I'm glad four of you are. Are the rest of you glad that you have a Bible this morning? Aren't you glad that your God loved you? And Peggy Grimes, she's got a little electronic Bible over here. Any of you have one of those? Aren't you glad that your God loves you enough to speak to you? And today, we have the ability to hear Him speak. Isn't that good, church? That's a great time for a big amen. And so this morning, we're going to listen to Him. These are the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Mark chapter 4. He tells a story about the kingdom of heaven. Here we go, verse 26. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel." I'm going to turn this down a bit. Here we go. "And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, 'What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it?' Well, it's sort of like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a farmer who scattered seed. Let's pray together. Father, as people who are made of dirt, living in a world of dirt, we thank you for the life-giving seed that you give. We pray this morning that those of us who have ears will hear intently what you would have us understand, that it would sink deep into the soil of our hearts, and that what sprouts forth is life-giving. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And all those who agreed said, and all those who agreed said,
amen.
Poke somebody and say, wake up. Go ahead, poke somebody, say, wake up. Come on, church, wake up. We're not going to keep going until you poke someone. Wake up here. I got time. Lunch isn't for another hour either way. Because we're about to look at something that Jesus wants every one of us to hear. In fact, here's the question I want to begin with. When you read this story, what is the first thing you notice? See, the first thing I notice when I read this story is I think, what a lazy farmer. Did you notice this? Now listen, I don't pretend to have much, if any, knowledge of farming, but I have been around enough farmers to know that you don't grab a handful of seed, fling it on the ground, and that's how you plant a garden. There's a whole lot of prep work that goes into planting a successful garden. You have to have a PhD in dirtology before anything seems to grow. Have you noticed this? Down the road from our house, at the entrance to our subdivision, there's an older gentleman. He has a double plot. He's got his house on one plot, and he's got his garden on the other. And it is impressive. In fact, we left town last Saturday, got home last night. We were away as a family, and we got in, and what was not there last week, now there's just all these. There's corn and cabbage and all sorts of other things that have grown up. But I remember months ago, before anything was produced, he went out there and he turned the dirt. Have you heard that phrase before? Turning the dirt? Now, I don't know what that means. But he goes out there and he turns the dirt. He gets it up. And something about getting that top layer and allowing the air to interact with it, something happens. It prepares the soil for the seed. And this guy doesn't do it. I mean, I know you've got to do that if you want to harvest. But he doesn't do that. Scripture says the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes out and just throws the seed. He doesn't prepare the soil. Notice what else he doesn't do. It doesn't say anything about watering. Do you notice? He doesn't say, and then he took a water pitcher and he poured it over and over. He prepared it and he irrigated the space. He doesn't water it. And I know you're supposed to water it. I got a wife. She's got plants. I've seen her water it. I've watered them a few times and they're still alive. He doesn't go out and fertilize the field. He does nothing to prepare the soil. He simply throws the seed. And we got to pause for a moment here and ask ourselves a real quick but important question. Is it possible that my job is not to prepare the heart of a person? Rather, my job is simply to throw the seed. Sure. See, this is really good news for people like you and me. It means that I don't have to be, and you don't have to be, a really good farmer to plant the kingdom seed in our communities. See, a lot of us have this idea that we need to know enough. We need to be a really good theologian, a really great teacher, a really great student, a really great anything before we can share, before we can see something happen. And the good news is you don't have to be a really great anything to scatter seed. Rather, he says, here's the application. Are you able and willing to scatter seed, the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, whenever you see a patch of dirt in this world? If you can do that, you're hired. Come on in. Because this is a dirty world, which may sound like bad news, but it's actually great news because it means you can scatter seed anywhere and the gospel just might grow. Now, I know a lot of us, we want to wait around and we want to say, we've got to wait for conditions to be perfect before we will get about what he calls us to do. Well, I've got to make sure I have a friendship with this coworker, that I know enough about him, that I have spent enough time with him, that we have done these things, that the ground has been prepared, and then I will scatter seed. Understand, it is the Holy Spirit's job to prepare the heart. It is our job to open our mouths and let the seed fly.
Yes, sir.
Which is really good news, family. It means I can let God do his job and he'll invite me to do mine. And something will grow from it. But there's some other things in this passage that I think are very interesting. Because it sounds like that according to Jesus, the power, notice this, is not in the one scattering the seed, but it's in the seed itself. Did you see that? The seed has this innate ability. Again, I don't know anything about planting. By the way, any of you like to garden? Could I just see some green thumbs in the house? Raise those up high. Any of you, more often than not, just kill things when you plant like me? Oh, yes. I'm all about the plastic plants that you just spritz, not to help them, but to keep the dust off the leaves. You know what I'm talking about? So I don't know a lot about planting. I don't know much about farming, but I do know this, that I once upon a time planted a butter bean in a little milk carton. And every day we would stare at the dirt, expecting it to come up because we were going to be graded on this poor little pathetic bean would come out of that dirt. It's like, why do you give him to me? And this little thing. And so we would be waiting and watching every day, wondering, will it come up? Wondering, is it going to do what it's supposed to do? Now here's the thing. I did not have to yell at the butter bean to get it to grow. In fact, yelling at it might have scared it. Wouldn't have helped. There's no way that I could coach the butter bean to grow faster. I couldn't send it to butter bean school where it learns how to grow. There was nothing I could do. Rather, God made the butter bean to grow all by itself. When it meets dirt, when it is moisturized, something happens and inside of it, it knows it's time to grow. Put me in contact with some dirt and it will grow. And this little butter bean says, all right, there's one of me. It's time to make more of me. You put me in dirt, I'll figure out the rest. The power of the gospel is that you put it in contact with dirty places. You don't do the work. The Spirit of God will actually work in it and create life, even in the hardest of places. Have you seen this? How many of you have spent hours weeding your garden only to come back the next day and there is some stubborn little know-nothing plant going, missed me. Any of you? In fact, I will take Roundup. I will kill Lindsay's, don't tell her I said this, I will kill her other plants just to get that one little guy. And yet he still comes out. In fact, some of you have weeds or grass coming up through the middle of your driveway. How tenacious is that seed? That it will find its own way down in the hardest places, into the cracks. It will germinate in the darkness. It will push its way up. It will break through hard soil. It will push through concrete until it finds the light of day. Folks, we do not carry with us a fragile, breakable gospel. We carry an invincible word of God that nation after nation has tried to stamp out through history and has not been able to do so. The kingdom of God is rooted and planted, and Jesus promises it is growing. Amen. All you need is some dirt. Just a little dark place. An area that is barren, that's dirty. But you scatter that seed, and God will go to work. And in fact, the power of this seed is not that it'll simply sprout and create a pretty little flower that someone can come over and step on. Rather, did you notice the picture? It will grow into this large plant, so big that its branches will support the birds. Now I know when I hear that, and maybe when you hear that, we automatically think of some cutesy little picture that might be crocheted or drawn on some fabric and hung in your grandmother's living room. A bird sitting in a sunflower. And we go, that's cute. That's not what's going on here at all. Do you understand? He's talking to a group of Hebrews who knew the Old Testament so well. When they heard his words, they went, oh, no way. See, throughout the Old Testament, the prophets, men like Daniel and Ezekiel, talked about the kingdom of God coming and being established like this giant tree, this branching plant that would root itself in the dirt of earth but reach the sky. Daniel chapter 4, there's a vision. And what happens in it? There's this great big tree that touches the ground and deeply rooted, but the branches reach the heavens. It's the connecting point from heaven and earth. And all the beasts of the field come and enjoy the shade. The birds of the air sit in its branches. And Jesus says, you want to know what will create that? It is only the gospel. Listen, this week, as we have heard people give suggestions to how to fix the problems, I've heard people say things like, we need to boycott social media. That'll fix the problem. So many of the things going wrong during this week has been social media. Other people have said, no, the issue is the police department. Other people say, no, it's the inner cities. Other people say it's this. Other people say it's that. And we are so fragmented with policies and programs saying the solution is this thing or that thing. Folks, the only thing that will fix this world is the seed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And can we please, for 1 minute, stop running to everything else, hoping for it to work? Question, how's that working for us? See, understand, when we talk about heaven on earth, we're not talking about some sort of preacher platitudes, family. We are talking about the good news that there is a God who died on a cross, who gave his life's blood in your place and in my place. That Jesus, because he loved this broken, dirty world, spread his arms wide, died, buried, and on the third day, like a seed planted in the ground, not even a rock could hold him there. Amen. That's the good news. Yes, sir. And it's the only thing that has the power to change our world, our nation, our state, our city, our homes. It's like a farmer got a handful of seed. And this beautiful, beautiful plant that gives life comes simply because he was willing to cast the seed wherever he saw some dirt. Now, here's the problem. To plant seed, it will disappear for a while. Have you noticed this? It goes underground. It goes where it is darkest, where it is most desperately needed. And there will be that time after the seed has been planted that you wonder, is it ever going to come up? And a lot of us get so impatient. I mean, we'll stand at a microwave and yell at the microwave for taking too long. And so we say, well, I've told one or two people and nothing happened. Wait for it. Give it time. Scripture tells us that the Word of God will never return void, meaning that when God speaks, something happens. People are either softened or hardened, but no one is left unchanged. Just wait for it. Give it time. This is where you and I plant the seed and we wait. We answer the question and we wait. We pray and we wait. We go to bed, we get up, we wait. And God promises that given time, this powerful, unstoppable seed will produce life that changes lives. And might just, if we will, as the church, allow it to do so, it might just change this nation. Because where there is dirt, the seed can grow. It's a curious thing in the book of Genesis when we're given this picture of how God made everything. He speaks everything into existence except for man. For man, the Hebrew is so beautiful and poetic, he literally gets face to face with it, with the dirt. Hands to hands, body to body, and he breathes himself out, his breath, into us. And from dirt comes man and flourishing. And God says, I want to do that again today. But do you trust the seed enough to scatter it? It's a hard question, isn't it? We can talk a lot about scattering seed, and that's easy. I've been thinking a lot about it this past week. How much do I trust in the power of God's seed? And listen, family, you understand there's a difference between trusting something intellectually. Yeah, I believe, before I got married, I believed that marriage was both hard and wonderful. But there's a difference between that knowledge and life experience, isn't there? I now believe it and trust that to be true. I believed before having kids that they were a wonderful gift from God, a wonderful, sticky, stinky, ooey, gooey, messy, loud. Can I keep going on? Mess from God. They are dirty. But now I know it from experience. Do you trust the seed from experience, family? Because in those moments when things are darkest, you've planted the seed deep in your heart, that you've allowed it to come inside. You've relied on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to bring about new life in your life. Or have you maybe instead done what so many of us have done? And we say, well, the seed doesn't work, when in reality, the seed is just fine. We've never actually planted it in our hearts. Amen. And so you have this addiction. Or this perpetual sin. And it's a secret one. No one knows about it. It's just for you. You're not hurting anyone, or so you tell yourself. And you wish you could get rid of it, and you tried everything you know how, and you wish that for the world things would be different. But the fact of the matter is, you've tried it, you've tried it, you've tried it all yourself, and still you are where you've always been. Is it possible the issue is not the seed, it's the fact that you're still holding it in your hand? A seed does no work in your hand, only in the dirt. It does no good on a shelf, only in the dirt. It does no good on a coffee table, only in the dirt. And so we come to the seed, we come to the good news, and we say, Lord, I can't do this. Will you fix it? And he says, absolutely. And we begin to obey what he says. We begin to confess our sins one to another. We begin to do those things that the seed begins to prompt us to do. And all of a sudden, the hardness of heart, the crustiness of the dirt of our souls breaks apart. Things change. And then when we've experienced it, we can now witness it to others. You know what a witness is, right? A witness is anyone who's been called to share what they have seen firsthand. And a witness is a bad witness if they begin to make up stories or tell what someone else saw. Have you come to trust the seed in your life, family? Have you come to say, Lord, no matter what, I trust you? Because until that happens, when something like what happened in Louisiana or Minnesota or in Dallas, when things on the news or around the neighborhood or when things in your school or at your work begin to happen, what will almost always take place is you will run to other sources of life and they will not fix a thing. We'll simply stir up more dirt. You know how those who know that a land that has been devastated is going to be better? The way these very smart people who keep track of when there's been a natural disaster and a land has been ravaged, trees and plants and everything ripped up. Do you know what they look to know if an area is going to be okay? The first sign they look for is their grass growing? Because if it is breaking through, then life is coming back and hope will be restored. As Christians, we do the same thing. That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, not only was nature, but all of creation was devastated because the life bringer had died. And they put him in the ground. And they said, this is the end for everything. But then on the third day, on a Sunday, what happened? He came out. And while you and I are still seeing a devastated world, we have seen life is coming. It's growing. Our job now is to cast the seed. Trust the seed. Cast the seed and let God do his work. Amen? We're going to go into a time of prayer this morning. Family, before we can leave this room and share seed with others, we need to first know, do we have it in us? And I'm just going to be real bold this morning. We're going to go into a time of prayer. Some of our elders are going to be here at the front. Wayne Russell and Stephen Bridges and Jim Hodge will be up front here. And I'm going to ask you guys, go ahead and make your way. And here's what I'm going to ask you. If you are not trusting the seed, or if you have never planted the seed or received the good news of Jesus, do not, please do not leave this morning expecting life to look different out there for you if you are not different inside. But this morning you can come and we will pray with you. These men, these are three of our 9 elders. They love you. They put up with me. They will put up with you very well. These are good men. And they would love to pray with you. If you have not yet trusted Jesus as your Savior, we would love to introduce you to Him through the waters of baptism. What a beautiful picture, isn't it? Dirt plus water and the seed, and there's growth. And we'll pray with you. We'll baptize you. We will introduce you to the Savior. And this morning, if you simply need to have those folk who love you most come around you, we will do that. But do not, please. please do not fool yourself into thinking everything is going to be okay out there if you have yet to have the seed in here.